Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, I should tell our listeners that our guest this week, Jan Aldrich, is an old timer with regard to UFOs. And we were talking about somebody whose work he took over from with his Project 1947 website, name of Ted Blosher, who had an amazing database of the early sightings. And he was affiliated with an organization called Civilian Saucer Intelligence of New York. This goes back to like the 50s and 60s and everything, folks. So if you're not very old, you're going to learn a lot of history you haven't heard before. And we had some fascinating people in there, such as, of course, Lex Mebane and Isabel Davis. And some of their writings were just positively brilliant. And Jan, I was mentioning this to you before we got started. This is CSI of New York, no resemblance to that horrible TV show. Okay? We're not talking about this spin-off of the Las Vegas CSI, which is coming back this fall with two of the original stars. I mean, they just never give up. So, Jan, how did you get involved in all this UFO stuff, especially the emphasis on the old cases?
Junior high, over the Christmas vacation, we had a thunder snow, a snowstorm where you have thunder and lightning. And I was making cinnamon toast, and the chimney got hit by lightning. And there was a spark that jumped across the electric. So I opened up the oven, and there's this ball of light just hovering inside the oven there. And it's just crazy. And then it started rolling over and over. It wasn't touching anything. It was just like it was rolling in the air. Got to the end of the shelf and like it was falling, but it had never touched anything. It wasn't touching anything. And it exploded like a cherry bomb, which, of course, knocked me on my backside. And when my father came home, I said, "What was that?" I told him about it, and he said, "That's what's in the libraries for. Go down there and look it up." So that's what I did. I found out it was ball lightning, and most scientists at the time did not believe it existed. There was supposed to be like a myth. So I got reading on ball lightning, and then I got reading on UFOs, and that's how I got involved.
And here you are.
Yeah, here I am. And as far as Project 1947 goes, I got out of the Army. I called Don Berliner at the Fund for UFO Research. And I told him I want to extend Blocher's study of the 1947 wave, the very beginning of large UFO sightings, the wave. I said I want to extend it. Berliner told me, Blocher, Ted Blocher's already done that. There's nothing for you to see here. So then I had to go out to the West Coast and find about 100 sightings that were not in Blocher's thing, in his study, and send them to Berliner. And so then that convinced him that maybe there was still more to find. And I got a grant from the fund, actually from the UFO Research Coalition, which Bigelow, you know, he put in, quite a few bucks. So I got enough money to travel all around the United States and Canada, going to different libraries and archives and historical societies and things like that.
Wait a minute here. You're telling us that you were financed by Robert Bigelow?
Not directly. I was financed through the UFO Research Coalition. So he gave the money, and he said, I don't want to do anything with this. You guys decide on the best thing. So everybody had a grant in, and mine was in there, and I got picked. They said every other grant was terrible. It wasn't worth it. So they picked mine. Of course, Bigelow didn't like mine. So pretty soon, Bigelow can't keep his fingers out of anything. He had to get his fingers back in there, and that was the end of the UFO Research Coalition. They still have a treasury, though. They have several thousand bucks in it still. But, they haven't done anything lately. All of these old UFO organizations, they do have treasuries, KUFOS, PUFOR, they still got some money.
You used up your money?
I sure did. And I kept expanding what I was doing. So, you know, I went out to, I found somebody that had a UFO collection for sale, and I bought it. So there was a guy in Michigan. And I bought his collection and added it to mine. And, when I was going across Canada, I met Chris Rakowski in Manitoba in Winnipeg. And I went out to his house, and he let me copy a lot of his stuff. And that's what I did. I went around the country. Meeting.
You know, Chris is one of our... I should say this before we get on, Jan. Chris is just one of our favorite people on this show. He's a brilliant investigator, smart as a whip, and he's funny. He's got this amazing sense of humor. We really dig having him on the show.
You know, he's giving all his UFO material to the University of Manitoba. And for a couple of decades, he was the point of contact for the Canadian government. They would get a UFO report, and they would send it to him. So those also are going to the University of Manitoba. And the University of Manitoba now has enough money to scan all these things in and to archive his collection. So it's a great thing.
Let's get back to your interest here. Why 1947? Why focus on all these old cases?
Okay, so every once in a while I would go down and visit NICAP, and Ted Blocher was running around in the country. He was part of a Broadway play. And so each place that he stopped at, he would look at the local newspapers and see if there were new 1947 cases that weren't in the NICAP file or he didn't know about.
Now, we should mention here, NICAP, the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, one of the original UFO organizations headed up by Major Donald Kehoe. And, of course, we all knew the late Richard Hall. And in those days, I had some run-ins with Richard Hall, which became the stuff of legend. I don't know if you ever heard about that. But, you know,
I haven't, but yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I'll tell you, I visited him one time.
We were able to argue a lot.
Pardon?
I said we were able to argue a lot, too.
Well, in this case, I came over there with friend of mine, Alan Greenfield, has been on the show, and Rick Hilbert, and a guy named Marty Salkind from Brooklyn, New York. And Richard Hall points his shaking finger at me and says, "You are not welcome here." This is when we visited the NICAP headquarters in Washington, D.C. Now, NICAP headquarters, let me tell you about that story, and then we're going to talk about your stuff. NICAP headquarters was located in this small office building. Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert. Filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So our guest this week, and he's a fascinating guy, we're going to get into some interesting stories here. Jan Aldrich is the head of Project 1947, and we know what that is from its title. Anyway, I was telling people about Major Keogh's organization, NICAP. In the way it was run, by the way, Keogh was rarely there. Mostly you had the office manager, and that was Richard Hall at the time. And this happened like 1965. And we mentioned that PCI couldn't enter the NICAP headquarters. NICAP was located off DuPont Circle in Washington, D.C. Now remember the famous sci-fi classic film, The Day the Earth Stood Still, directed by Robert Wise, who also did Sound of Music and Star Trek The Motion Picture, and Robert Wise was interested in UFOs. Really? Okay? It starred Michael Rennie as Klaatu. Anyway, the movie, there's a scene there where they are chasing the renegade Klaatu. You know, they want to capture him, and they shoot him off DuPont Circle in Washington, D.C., that is technically probably hundreds of yards or feet from where NICAP was located. That's a strange coincidence. But that's true. Anyway, you were able to visit NICAP, argue with Richard Hall, Jan, and he didn't throw you out.
He didn't throw me out. I visited NICAP 12 times, and each time I visited was for a week or two or three. And I did file maintenance while I was there. I helped file things. I'm looking at the file cabinet, and there's a thick file there on 1947 stuff. And I walked into the main office where everybody was doing something, and I said, "Where did all these 1947 clippings come from?" And Ted said, "That's me." And he told me about going around with this Broadway play. And I said, "I want to do that. I want to help you out." And he says, "Well, yeah, fine. Send me anything you get." So that's when I started. He was close to finishing his book, so my contribution was nothing. But he told me afterwards, "Oh, by the way, we're continuing 1947 even after the book came out." And he said, "Then we're starting on 1950. So I was hooked. So I used to go around to the libraries and do that. You don't have to do that today. You can go online, and most of these things are the colleges and universities and other entities have the newspapers online now. But you couldn't do that in 1965, 66, 67. You couldn't do that. So you had to go to the actual library. So that's what I did. Every time I go to another library and look up stuff and copy it out. And a lot of times we had to hand copy it because there weren't decent copiers at that time that you could put a whole newspaper on. Anyways, then I went away to the Army. I got out in 94, and I called Don Berliner and said, "You know, I want to continue this thing." And he says, "There's nothing. There's nothing. It's already, Blocher's got it all." So I had to go out to the West Coast. I just picked Washington, Oregon, and Idaho, and came back with 100 or so clippings that were not in Blocher's work. And Berliner said, "Maybe you've got something here. Apply for a grant." So at the time, that was the fund for UFO research. So I applied for a grant. They said, "Nobody has a grant that's worth a darn. Yours is good. You got the money." And that's what I did. I went all around the United States, going to colleges, universities, historical societies, screening newspapers for 1947. And of course, that didn't last very long. I started screening for everything. Anything I could find, I would stay someplace a few days and then move on to another place. And like in Texas, there was a central location, there were several central locations for newspapers. You know, one was Austin, one was Panhandle Plains Museum up in the Panhandle, and then Texas Tech out there in Lubbock, and El Paso. So there were a number of places, plus a lot of local libraries hadn't centralized their collection yet. So, and that's what I did. I did that for about 3 years. That was a 3 year a process. But like I said, I didn't just do 1947. Everything I could find, I stopped off and saw ufologists and copied their files. And, you know, sometimes libraries kept files of UFO cases, you know, if the librarian was interested or so. She'd have a vertical file on it, so I'd copy all of those. So that was a starting of a huge clipping file that I have that's probably close to 100,000 clippings, which is nothing. It's nothing because there's so many newspaper articles. I naively said that there's probably a million newspaper articles, and I think now that that was conservative, because when I compare it with Greenwood, he's got about 125,000 clippings, and our stuff doesn't match. We exchange stuff with each other back and forth. He's got stuff that I don't have, and I have stuff that he doesn't have. And a million is too conservative. I'm talking about different, not new service clippings over and over again, but just unique stories about UFOs.
Well, that's the way amazing. You look at it here is you probably will never run out of sources of information.
Right.
Which is really good. And I think what I want to do here is look at some specific cases and see whether you picked up anything more or different. And I think this goes back to a very brief period of time when I did a small gig for what became the movie known as The Phenomenon with James Fox. And this is when Tracy Tourmé was doing some work on it. And they asked me to look up cases before Arnold, June 24th, 1947. And, of course, they said, don't look at just what Ted Blocher has done. But then, of course, you run into a dead end from there. But it's very important there to look at the cases that preceded Arnold. And I think part of it is to just see how his sighting influenced subsequent events. Jan Aldrich, he's associated with Project 1947. We know what that means. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Over 60 people had to be decontaminated after a chemical leak at a Texas amusement park. The incident occurred Saturday at Six Flags Splashdown outside of Houston. Authorities say an airborne chemical leak caused guests to experience minor skin and/or inhalation irritation. 26 people were sent to hospitals for treatment. The park was closed down for the rest of the day. And the largest of more than 70 wildfires burning in the western United States has become one of the biggest in the history of the state of Oregon. The bootleg fire, which has been burning in and around the Fremont-Winema National Forest for nearly 2 weeks, has scorched more than 280,000 acres. Firefighters say they've been able to get it 22% contained, but add that a combination of gusty winds, low humidity, and dry vegetation on the forest floor has provided the fire with an abundance of fuel. The bootleg fire has so far destroyed 21 homes, with authorities listing more than 5,000 as threatened. This is USA Radio News. The Centers for Disease Control say the unvaccinated are driving a new rise in COVID cases. But some health officials also say that misinformation about COVID and its vaccines are helping drive the spread. Brad Bernards reports.
With COVID-19 cases rising in all 50 states, health officials say it's clear that unvaccinated people are both driving the increase in cases and are most at risk. This is Dr. Tyson Bell, medical ICU director at the University of Virginia.
I think one thing to really discuss is the misinformation that's really out there. I think that's really been a pandemic in and of itself. The fact that people are getting inaccurate information that leads them to believe that the vaccines are either unsafe, they're not effective, or they're not necessary.
From the USA Radio News West Texas Bureau, I'm Brad Bernards.
And three of the Texas House Democrats who fled to Washington, D.C. to stop a vote on Texas's controversial election reform bill have tested positive for COVID-19. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Jacques Vallée, you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So Jan, in your great quest to accumulate clippings and such, do we see sightings before Arnold that had objects that were similar?
Oh, yes. Foo Fighters. Now, this is going to the National Archives and going through their stuff, or the Air Force Historical Research Agency at Maxwell Air Force Base, going down there and finding actual reports, not newspaper things, actual reports of Foo Fighters overseas. They were in every theater of the war. General Arnold, who was the commanding general of the United States Air Force, he sent his aide, Joe Chamberlain, and his scientific advisor, Dr. David Griggs, to investigate this while the war was still going on. Now, Arnold went to Europe in the 415th Night Fighter Squadron, and he bunked in with them, and there was also a reporter from AP and a sergeant from Stars and Stripes that interviewed these guys. And they were also the intelligence sergeant of the squadron. The intelligence officer. He went and made a report up the line. And so it got back to the Pentagon, and the Pentagon is sending a message to U.S. Expeditionary Forces Europe. It said, what is going on with these things? What are they? And I have that on my website. If you go to project1947.com and look at 1945, you'll find all kinds of documents about Foo Fighters. Shameless plug.
Right, but the question I think I asked here, Jan, is whether those sightings involved objects similar to what Arnold saw?
Some did. Some were lights. One on the West Coast. Now, this is an aircraft instructor, and I interviewed this guy. Because, you know, in the 90s, a lot of these people were still alive. So I interviewed this guy, and he's flying along above the clouds. And they instructed him that day they knew he had a camera. They said, do not take pictures of anything because we've got some stuff running around up there that we don't want anybody to know about. And he was above an overcast with a student pilot. This thing came up behind him, and it was orange, and it came right up off his wing. And as it stopped, it did a little waggle. Like the pilot said, it was an intelligence error. He said, this is something that's being guided. It went ahead and went along with him just off his wing, and he said, I couldn't see any rivets or anything like that. And he said, it turned from orange to silver. When it slowed down, the pilot said, he said to the student, he said, take off your hood and look at this thing. So the guy did. And then he said, okay, put the hood back on. We're going to go on with our stuff. You know, this is a new kind of aircraft or something. That's what he thought. It's Hynek's escalation of hypothesis. You know, people keep trying to figure out what they're looking at, and they figure it's something mundane, so they keep going. And if the UFO does something that's even more spectacular, then they have to change their hypothesis. But this guy just thought it was something new from, you know, in our inventory. So then it started up again, it waggled again, sped off and turned from silver back to orange, went across the flight path and disappeared. He didn't think anything of it till he saw a P-80 fighter plane in 1950. And he said, that was nothing like what I saw. He said, this is something different. So it took him almost 43 to 1950 to figure out he had seen something that was impossible.
Now, I don't know if you've heard of this. I'll tell you something that may be alien to you. There's a gentleman by the name of James Carrion who used to be the international or the national director of MUFON.
I know him.
Yeah. Okay. Are you familiar with a book he wrote called The Rosetta Deception?
Yes.
Okay. This is something where I guess the ghost rockets were, according to his investigation, efforts to spook the Russians during the latter stages of World War II. What's your perception of that?
I think the Swedes did an excellent job of investigating those cases, and I don't think they would agree with him. I don't think I agree with him either.
Yeah, I should mention here that you've also got, well, here, another shameless plug for you. If you do go to Amazon, there you can get copies of Project 1947 in print and another one, the Ghost Rocket Files, which looks really interesting. So, by all means, please continue, Jan.
Yeah, well, the Ghost Rocket Files sold about five copies. However, what it is formerly top secret and below letters, cables, and intelligence reports back and forth on ghost rockets. I found, and some of my colleagues found 100 ghost rocket documents. But then if you look at the documents, they refer to other documents. So we got a list of 100 documents we have yet to find on ghost rockets. Plus the British archives has information on ghost rockets. They also have information on Foo Fighters. So, the Ghost Rocket Files was not a big seller because actually all this it is a bunch of arranged in chronological order from the Air Force or the Army Air Force, the Army, the Navy, SSU, which is a part of, was part of the OSS, which survived after the OSS was shut down. Central Intelligence Group, which was a forerunner of the Central Intelligence Agency. All those documents came from those agencies. And like I said, some of them at the time were top secret or, you know, and below. The only group of documents on ghost rockets that I found was in General LeMay's files. General LeMay had about 7 or 8 ghost rocket messages from Sweden and around Europe about ghost rockets. Every other one was just by itself. So the only way you found these kind of things was go to the National Archives, turn one page over, turn another page over. Oh, here's a ghost rocket document. Are there any other documents around the ghost rocket document that's about ghost rocket? No, nothing. So you got to turn more pages over, and then you find these things. And that compilation is some of the ones I found.
So I think that is totally, totally actually quite awesome. For serious researchers, these are exactly the kind of things that we are looking for. It's easy to find a lot of accounts from people who've had some very interesting experiences. But, you know, I really love this stuff. I have the government and UFOs, the one that was, I think you may have had some involvement in that, came out of MUFON.
Yeah, UFOs and government. Yeah.
Let's do our break here, guys. We'll break. We got more to come with Jan, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
As we ended the previous segment, Randall was mentioning some updates to our guest, Jan Aldrich. Randall, just pick up on that, please.
Right, yeah, UFOs in government. That's like a must-have collection of all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just so glad that you made it onto the show. I remember back in the 90s when I was I've always been interested in UFOs, but I got a computer given to me, and that was back when, you know, when you looked at the computer and you went on the internet, it like went, you know, and they were these big beige kind of, and I ran across Project 1947 and I thought, oh, this is cool. So you're kind of like a pioneer in the early days of the more popular internet getting this information out there. That's how long right. You've been doing this. It's just yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, I'm so old. I don't remember when my birthday was. Let's talk about Foo Fighters again.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Somebody that really went to town on this was Keith Chester, and he wrote a book called Strange Company. And this is based on 100 visits to the National Archives. He really went through the archives, tore through it, tried to find everything he could on Foo Fighters. And it's a great book, and it's not that expensive, and I helped him out, and Barry Greenwood helped him out, and a number of other people helped him out with what we had, and then he turned all his files over to us. He didn't quit after he wrote his book. He kept going there, so now we have his files, and we're going to scan them. We're going to scan them in. In fact, we have a big scanning project, which is the Center for UFO Studies files, which is also the NICAP files and the CSI Los Angeles files and the CSI New York files and about a dozen other UFO groups. And we've been digitizing these things and scanning them in. We've got from pre-47 up to 1965, and then I did, that Greenwood did all of those. He did the biggest bunch so far. I did from July 67 up to 1970. We're going to go hit it again. The files are now in New Mexico. And we're going to be going down there in September and trying to finish up what we started. But that's ufology for you. You never finish.
Oh, isn't that the truth? I'd like to back up just a little bit, too, here to talk a little bit about some of your prehistory in ufology, and that when you were in the armed forces, you were involved in some pretty interesting stuff here. Now, you know, looking at one of the documents that I pulled from your site that documents the Blue Book Unknowns, there's a little part in there that talks about Jan L. Aldridge, Master Sergeant, Retired Intelligence, NCO, European Theater, Security Manager, Top Secret Control Officer, Cosmic Top Secret Control Officer. I thought that was some kind of fiction. Communications Security Custodian, Classified Document Custodian, Nuclear Release Authentication System, familiar with protocols for establishing tactical biovac areas with exclusion areas. I mean, this is just, you're not just sort of an inexperienced nobody when it comes to documents and dealing with this top secret stuff by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I was an intelligence sergeant for 7 years, and most of my service in the armed forces of 25 years, most of it was in nuclear capable units. So I know some of this, nuclear protocols and everything. And in some cases I was an instructor, and I had, my, opposite number, the special weapons NCO. This guy had been in every kind of nuclear unit from battery to, the Pentagon. He'd been everywhere where there were nukes. That's all he did during his whole career. So I could lean on him for anything I didn't know. Now about the Cosmic Top Secret. Cosmic indicates it's NATO. So top secret, Cosmic Top Secret is a NATO document. So you know immediately it's a NATO document.
So it's not just like some made-up science fiction thing.
No, you know, Bob Dean used to brag about, you know, he had a cosmic top secret. I had a cosmic top secret atomal. So I, you know, that's one card more than he did. That's so funny. I said, you know what you can do with a cosmic top secret document or a clearance? I said I had it. I was the guy that assigned the clearances because I was the security manager. I said, you know what you can do with that? That and $2 will get you a cup of coffee. We only had about a dozen people in my unit that could view Cosmic Top Secret. We only had a few. And if you screwed up, it was like another 5 years in prison instead of just a regular, you know, if you screwed up normally, Cosmic put you in jail for about another extra 5 years.
Nuclear stuff would be pretty serious. Now, in your role there, did you ever run across any documents on UFOs that are relevant?
I ran into a few things while I was in the military, and of course, when I was in the States, I always continued doing my newspaper searches and things like that, and keeping in touch with people. Lou Farish, I can't remember some of these names. What we had, this is before the internet, so this is what we call the round robin. So, like, Lou would find a bunch of pre-1947 sightings, you know, maybe 19th century or even earlier, 18th century, 17th century. He'd find some of these in newspapers or other, you know, old books, diaries, whatever. So he would photocopy two or three of them, and then he'd send them on to another guy, and that guy would send them off to a guy in England. And each person that got him was supposed to copy what he was sent and add something to it. So then it'd get around to me, and I'd copy what these guys had sent me, and I'd put some more stuff in it, send it back to Lou Farish, and he would start it on its way again with new information. So that was one thing I did while I was in the military, but that one had nothing to do with the military. My superior, he was superior to me in rank all the time, but I served with him about three times. He was a meteorologist. He had a very interesting thing. He went to Christmas Island. It was something called the Line Island experiment. They flooded the area, the Line Islands, with meteorologists. And they took a satellite and put it over the island, Christmas Island. That's where he was. And he's out there taking a weather observation one day. And this light comes up. Now, this is in the middle of nowhere. Nobody goes there. It used to be a nuclear testing site, but nobody goes there. The British used it, then we used it, and then we left it. And the natives were the only people that were there, and they had a governor general or whatever they called them from the British government. So we're out there on that. They're out there on that island, and they're taking weather observation. And this light comes up, and it gets closer and closer, bigger and bigger, brighter and brighter. So he figured it was a PVY that they had out there for transportation from one island back to another. So he starts flashing his flashlight at it. He's got a powerful flashlight, and it starts flashing back and reacting to his light, and he said, "Yeah, okay, that's a PVY pilot. He must be coming in here for something."
Let's continue that story in our next segment with Gene Randall and Jan. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.